Welcome to The Spiritual Rabbit Hole, a podcast with spiritual mediums, Kristen, Nicole, and Glenda.
Join us as we tap into the spiritual realm, explore mysteries of the universe, and guide you on a journey of self-discovery.
Get ready to open your mind and connect with something greater than yourself. Let's dive into The Spiritual Rabbit Hole.
What's up?
Welcome, everyone.
I was like, what's going on?
I know, it was me. Okay, so welcome back, everyone.
Welcome.
To the very awesome podcast, The Spiritual Rabbit Hole. And we're so glad you're back with us. We hope you enjoyed our episode last week where we wrapped up our series on psychic children. We talked about indigo children, rainbow children, and crystal children. So make sure you go and listen to that.
Yeah, so today's episode, we're going to talk about chakras and their origins, their role in energy healing, and how to identify each of the main seven chakras.
So yeah, let's start with the origins of chakras. According to traditional Indian belief systems, particularly Hinduism and Tantra, chakras are energy centers within the human body. And the term chakra or chakra derives from Sanskrit word meaning wheel or disc. And this refers to the swirling of the energy centers thought to be interconnected along the spine.
So real quick. So I heard you said chakras or chakra, which I always say it chakras. How do you guys say it normally?
I usually say chakra, but people have corrected me and said it's chakra.
So I'm like, wait, okay, that's whatever. What I say. I say chakra. I was like, wait a minute. That didn't sound right. Yes, I say chakra.
It's like tarot and tarot.
Never heard tarot.
Yeah.
You've never heard tarot?
No.
No? Well, because like there's in Hawaii,
there's
tarot.
What is there? Isn't there like there's farms. Oh my gosh. I'm drawing a blank. Hey guys, I hurt my back recently, so I'm on some medications. This may be a crazy episode, so I apologize in advance. Isn't there like a vegetable in Hawaii that's taro?
Taro, yes.
Yeah.
So T-A-R-O.
What does
taro.
That look like?
Like
a radish or something?
No, because they pound it into poi.
Is it like a potato?
Maybe something.
It's
like
a root vegetable, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and it makes poi. It oh my gosh. Oh, now I'm drooling. Okay. So yeah. So when I, you eat it with your fingers and with, we're going down a rabbit hole. Let's get back on track. But tarot makes me think of poi.
Poi.
But if some people say tarot, you know, whatever you guys are comfortable
chakra.
With. I know chakra.
Tomato, tomato.
Whatever you feel comfortable. But I wanted to make sure we address that because a lot of people pronounce it differently and it's okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, either way, to me, I mean, I'm sure there's some people that get offended if you say it wrong. I'm not one of those people. So you might hear us say it both ways throughout this whole thing. So sorry.
Apparently,
I
can't even remember which way I actually say it. It's been a long day for me here, too. So, it's going to be a crazy episode. Okay.
A good one. So, a good one. Yeah, the crazy ones are always the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So balanced chakras are essential for holistic well-being because they promote the harmonious flow of energy throughout the body, mind, and spirit.
Yes.
Each chakra is associated with specific physical, emotional, and spiritual health aspects. When balanced and functioning optimally, people can experience greater vitality, emotional stability, mental clarity, and spiritual growth.
So true.
Oh, yeah.
So when chakras are out of balance or blocked, they can manifest in various ways, such as physical problems, emotional disturbances, or spiritual stagnation.
Yeah. For example, if you have an imbalance in your root chakra, which is located at the base of your spine, you might start to have feelings of insecurity or instability because that's what the root chakra is connected to. But in contrast, if there's an imbalance of the heart chakra, which is located in the center of your chest, that could result in difficulties with relationships or self-love because that's what that chakra is related to.
Yeah. And I want to add, especially when, G was talking about physical ailments, you know, if your heart chakra is blocked for like a long time, you know, you can have, sometimes that can turn into a heart issue if it's been blocked for years, you know, or anything having to do with the chest. And then the spine, sometimes you can have like lower back issues if your root chakra's off, or they say it can be connected to your immune system. So yeah.
Just like your throat, right? Not speaking your truth.
Yeah, throat, thyroid sometimes. Not all the time, but it could. Okay, so the concept of chakras originated in ancient Indian traditions like Hinduism and Tantra, and it has evolved across spiritual and healing practices. It was initially described in some ancient texts, for example, the Vedas, and the chakras were seen as energy centers within the subtle body. And, you know, I don't know, you guys, when you look at them, I see them as like little swirling energies, right? They became central in yogic and tantric traditions aimed at spiritual awakening. Nowadays, chakras are integrated into practices like yoga, Reiki, and Ayurveda, which are believed to maintain holistic well-being. Balancing chakras throughout practices like meditation and yoga clears blockages. It can stimulate your energy flow and promote your vitality and alignment.
Yeah, I make a point that every time before I start a reading, when I'm starting a meditation, I do a meditation, which we'll talk about later a little bit, where I align and clear my chakras so that I can have the flow of energy come through more easily when I'm connecting to divine energy, when I'm talking with departed loved ones, any kind of spiritual connection, because that allows things to flow through me more easily. So I'm more receptive and I can also release things a little bit easier.
Yep. That's the same. Every time I meditate for somebody else or myself, I always clear.
Yeah.
And that, like you said, it just helps you be a clear channel.
Okay, so the first one would be root chakra. This is located base of the spine. Its color is red. Its trait is grounding, stability, security, family. And signs of balance and alignment is feeling grounded, safe, connected into physical world. Signs of imbalance are anxiety, fear, financial instability. Other techniques to alignment and unblocking, grounding exercises, walking barefoot on earth, gardening, yoga poses like the mountain pose, bridge pose, and your affirmation will be, I am safe, protected, and secure in this moment. Or my environment is supportive and nurturing, providing me with a sense of security.
Yes. The root chakra, straight up, that's my hardest chakra. Mm. That's probably why I have lower back pain.
You're very spiritual. You're very much in the spiritual world a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time staying grounded and connected to the physical world. So, you know, that's where I know I have an imbalance. But it's also one of the reasons I started yoga a year ago was to help that practice of being grounded. You know, I'm in Michigan. There's a lot of snow. We even got snow today. You know, it's March and we got snow. It didn't stick very long, but it's not most of the year. I can't go outside barefoot on the earth. Not that that's my first choice. If you listen to the podcast, that's not my first choice.
Yeah.
Not my jam. I'm not into dirt and bugs and stuff like that, but I hug my black walnut tree. You know, I've mentioned that before. But so I really struggle with my root chakra. And it's funny because when I was working on creating this outline for this episode, I was looking around my house. I'm like, I don't really have any red anywhere in my house.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's like something I need to bring
red
in.
And even a book?
I do have some red books, but they're in a closet, you know, that is often closed and it's in my office. And, you know, so I was working on this outline. I was like, I should probably go and buy some red stuff.
You can also just eat red fruit, like fruit or vegetables.
Yeah,
too.
Fruits. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I can do that. I do like strawberries and I like red bell peppers. So yeah, so I do. So if you're very like in the ethereal kind of space and you're a lot of time spend a lot of time in your head, you feel like a disconnect from your physical body or from the physical world, your environment, there could be an issue going on with your root chakra, or sometimes called the base chakra, because of the location at the base of the spine. So that's something to consider. If you're actually attracted to red, this, you'll find this to be true sometimes. If you, for some reason, feel comfortable in red, you might be drawn to that because your body needs that kind of energy in it, in its life. Mm. Or if you're uncomfortable around red, it might be a sign that you need to work on getting comfortable with that kind of energy in your life. And that's where I am. Red, I'm not a huge fan of red.
Same.
And, you know, it's funny because my oldest son, who's now a sophomore in college and has been living out of the house the last couple of years, he always had red. His room was always painted red. Red's his favorite color. Oh. And I'm realizing that around the time that he left was around the same time I had a lot of more issues with my root chakra, which is also connected to family.
Didn't they give you guys red
bracelets?
Bracelets.
Yeah.
To me, that was like significant too, because I just read something about Mary Magdalene and the red too, right?
Yeah.
And I do have those red bells. I have the red bells on my doors. Yeah. So I do have that. But I think I need to bring more red in and get more comfortable with red. But so for me, the root chakra is one of the most difficult ones. I struggle in my yoga classes with the some of the bridge pose I struggle with. The tree pose. It's one of my favorites and I'm getting really good at that. But that one, any kind of balance, I'm not good with. But I'm learning. I'm working on it.
Yeah. Well, you're doing the right thing then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm finding ways, right? And that's what we suggest. These are just offerings and suggestions of ways to find a balance within each chakra, which will help allow the energy to flow better within you.
Yeah.
So the second chakra is the sacral or sacral. That's another one people say a little differently, depending on what they're comfortable with. And this one is found in your lower abdomen below your belly button. The color associated with the sacral chakra is orange. And the traits that are usually associated with this chakra are creativity, pleasure, and emotional balance. And signs of balance and alignment are when you're like creatively doing things that you letting your, I always say you let your creative juices flow. Whether you're doing something artistic or just, you know, it could be creating spreadsheets or digital downloading printable downloads that people can buy. It could be painting. It could be dancing. It could be anything like that. Another sign of balance and alignment is being able to express your emotions in a healthy way and also being balanced with your sensuality. Now, some signs of imbalance, emotional volatility. So like if you erupt quickly with your emotions and you have a hard time with, you know, expressing them respectfully, safely and things like that. Another sign of imbalance is low libido and creative blocks. So if you're struggling with any of those things, some techniques that you can try to help align and unblock your sacral chakra are hip opening yoga poses. And some of these are my favorite, the pigeon pose and the butterfly pose. And if you don't know what these poses are, they're all over the internet. All you have to do is Google it. And like I said before, some Google ways it, to, and this is funny because the sacral chakra is the one that I often, my clients need help with. And I'll often see, you need to just allow yourself to be creative. And like I said before, painting, dancing, even finding outfits, you know, and being fun with like how what you're wearing and stuff like that, that's creative. You can also do sacral chakra meditations where you're focusing on water imagery. And the reason why you would think of water is because water flowing meditations are really beneficial for the sacral chakra due to the symbolic association of water and emotions, and as well as creativity and fluidity. It's just like, you know, in the tarot cards or tarot or
tarot.
It's whatever. Everybody says it's a little tarot. So like in the tarot cards, the cups, there's a lot of decks that have the cups with liquid in it. That's always the cups are emotion, right? So do you guys have any experiences with your sacral chakras?
So yes.
No.
For sure. These next two are probably my bigger ones that I need to rebalance. So yeah, which is funny though. I do feel like my sacral chakra is a little unbalanced, but I love to dance. Like that.
Me too.
That is like my favorite thing. We should kind of have a dance party.
Dance off.
Here we go.
Well, you know what? We can even do like karaoke, virtual karaoke.
We got to have a dance party.
You know what?
I do love to dance.
Yeah. I think for me, what works best for me personally, the creative act that helps me open up my sacral is writing.
Oh.
Whenever I write, I feel so much better. And it's And I don't utilize that practice enough, because a lot of the time when I think of creativity, I'm like everybody else. I think of an artist or crafts or stuff like that, which
but
I also crochet. There's
so many things, like you said, that you can do. Stay tuned for Nicole's book coming in the future.
Hint.
The pressure's on now.
It's official. No, I'm kidding. Okay. So the next chakra is the solar plexus chakra, and this is in your upper abdomen, above your belly button.
Right.
And the color associated with this is yellow. And the traits are confidence, personal power, and willpower. The signs of a balanced solar plexus are strong sense of self, empowered decision making. That is one that I have a very difficult time with. assertive yet respectful communication. Signs of an imbalance is low self-esteem, digestive issues, and lack of motivation. So techniques that you can do to align and unblock are core strengthening yoga poses like boat pose or plank pose. Breath work to increase energy and confidence. This could be like the breath of fire that they do in Pilates. You could do visualization of a radiant glowing sun at the solar plexus. I've been doing that lately, actually, when, like, you know, we said we clear our chakras. I always light each of them up.
Mm-hmm.
And I've started to imagine it when I get there, especially that the, like, it's like the sun and it starts to glow and go out past my body, just so it kind of feel like I'm giving it more energy and growing it. And an affirmation that I like to do when I'm there is, I am a powerful being of light, or I fully trust in my spiritual abilities, or I fully trust in myself, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, those are good
ones. Yes, this is one definitely need to work on. And a good crystal for that, because, you know, crystals can go along with your chakras too.
Right.
Yeah.
Is this one in particular is citrine. And that's what I used to wear my citrine all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, weren't you like drawn to it like for a while there and you had a lot of citrine?
She sent me my first one, which is like the best chunk of citrine. Although at first I thought it was clear quartz because it was so almost clear, and you were like, no, dummy, it's citrine. You needed it.
Look at it.
So
yeah, in the light.
It's a really pretty one.
Yeah. And if so, you know, you make a good point to go back to the other chakras we mentioned. A good crystal for the sacral chakra is carnelian, I think, is one. And then also for the root chakra, you can do red jasper, but you can also like black obsidian and black tourmaline. So red ones are usually calcite. It's a crystal associated with the color that's connected to the chakra. But the root chakra, again, it could be red or black or even brown. I think some people use tiger's eye sometimes with working with the root chakra. So yeah.
That makes sense, because brown colors would be like grounding.
Earth grounding.
Yeah.
So our next chakra would be the heart chakra, which is located in the center of your chest. Its color is green. Its trace is love, compassion, and empathy. The signs of balance and alignment is unconditional love, compassion for self and others, harmonious relationship.
Yeah.
And signs of imbalance are difficulty in giving or receiving love, heartache, resentment. And to align this chakra, you can use the heart opening yoga pose, camel pose, and the cobra pose. Loving kindness meditation towards self and others, surrounding oneself with greenery or nature.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah. Well, because you're our heart here. Like G is like a big old heart, and she's got plants all over the place.
Yeah, she does. I do. That's very
I mean, I live on an island, so.
But in your house, you have plants all over the place too, not just outside. Yeah.
Now I have plants on my stairs, so there's more.
Nice. That's awesome. That's a great way to, you know, bring that energy into your heart chakra. And green is the main color that's usually associated with this one, but it can also be pink, you know, for obvious reasons. So some crystals that you can use to work with the heart chakra are green aventurine is one of my favorite, yeah. but also the most common one, rose quartz.
Rose quartz, yeah. Yeah. yeah.
So those are good ones.
Mm-hmm. And green calcite, I think, too.
Yeah, any green.
That one, any green.
Yeah. yeah.
So, and everybody has, you'll find if you are already a crystal lover or if you're just beginning to explore crystals, you're going to find that there's certain ones that you're drawn to for certain chakras, or you're drawn to a crystal not even realizing what chakra it's related to. And when you start to look into it, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, that's exactly why yeah. I was drawn to this crystal. So yeah, it's pretty
cool. Yeah, because sometimes the color isn't always exactly right. the one you would think. Right.
Mm-hmm. So the next chakra we're going to talk about is the throat chakra. And that one is obviously in the throat area. And the color associated with the throat chakra is blue. The traits are communication, self-expression, and truth. Signs of balance and alignment are clear and authentic communication. It's also ability to express oneself creatively and honestly, as well as active listening skills. Signs of imbalance are difficulty in expressing yourself, a sore throat, or fear of speaking. Now, some techniques that can help you align and unblock your throat chakra are throat opening yoga poses, the fish pose, that's one of my favorite, the shoulder stand, one I cannot do.
Neither can I.
But there's also vocal exercises like chanting, humming, and singing. Now, singing, and if you listen to the podcast, you've heard that sometimes when I'm struggling before reading, and when I was first mm-hmm. starting out going to do readings, I would belt out Adele. And that totally made me feel more confident in expressing this the messages that came from spirit. Now, another way that you can work on aligning and unblocking your throat chakra is journaling or speaking affirmations aloud. And one example would be, my voice is powerful, authentic, and freely expressed. Another would be, I communicate with clarity, honesty, and compassion. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, the throat chakra is another one that comes up a lot when I'm talking mm-hmm. with clients in mm-hmm. readings. And a lot of the time it's because we have been in experiences, whether it was our childhood or certain relationships, where we felt we couldn't express ourselves freely. So we hold back. Now, expressing yourself freely doesn't mean like road rage and, you know, yelling at the manager at the store or, right. you know, but like getting to the point where before it gets to that volatile state that you mm-hmm. express yourself and share how you're feeling in a respectful, right. healthy way.
Well, and honestly, when you have road rage, you probably had the anger prior to the road incident.
Right.
That's probably not even your real problem.
Right.
You just want to yell at somebody, but because you didn't say what you really needed to say to the person you needed to say it to.
Yeah, so true. Now, some crystals that are great to work with for the throat chakra. One of my favorite is lapis lazuli, mm-hmm. but also you can work with, is it celestite? Celestite?
Celestite.
Yeah. You can work with that one as well. Really any blue crystal. Now, I'm going to be honest. Sometimes the color doesn't matter. Kind of like what Kristen was saying, you'll be surprised by some colors of crystals, and mm-hmm. they might not be associated with what you think they are, but they're like the rose quartz is pink, but the heart chakra is associated with green more often. But yeah. the traits of rose quartz is unconditional love.
Right.
So the energy in the crystal is also taken into consideration, not just the color.
And yeah. when I think of the pink too, like if I connect with Archangel Chamuel, mm-hmm. I always kind of see pink, and I think he's kind of about love too. And when I yep. see pink energy coming from somebody to somebody else, I always see that as love too. So that's why it always makes sense to me. Pink, you know, love.
Love.
The love rock.
Have you ever heard the love boat? And that's the only words I remember. Do, 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 do,
yeah, do, do, do. You ever hear like you could put a rose quartz in each corner of your bed, like underneath your bed, to increase your loving?
Do you have rose quartz under each corner of your bed? Have you tried it?
No.
I did. I put it under. Not that we needed, you know, help or anything with it, but I was like, hey, promotes love. Put it under the bed.
But you know what? It's good too for self-love.
That too.
Yeah. I used to have one under my bed, my pillow. And then I have no idea where it went.
Did you have a big heart-shaped one?
I do.
With
I don't
the rose
know.
Quartz?
It's probably yeah. underneath my bed.
There you go. It's See? Probably... You don't have to put it under each corner, but yeah.
yeah.
Put it under your
yeah,
bed.
You can even put it on your nightstand or...
Yeah.
And that's true for any of these crystals, honestly. Mm-hmm. Why are we talking about crystals? We're supposed to be talking about chakras.
Because they're connected.
We have to do a crystal episode.
That's on the list, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, I think so.
This is a teaser for that.
Yeah. There's so much more.
Yeah. So the next chakra is the third eye chakra. And this is in the center of your forehead, between your eyebrows. And its color is indigo, which is the same as like purple almost, right?
It's like a bluish purple.
Yeah. I kind of always see a purple, but either one. The traits associated with the third eye chakra are intuition, inner wisdom, and perception. And the signs that you might have a balanced third eye chakra are heightened intuition, clarity of vision, trust in your inner guidance. Yep. Signs that you may have some imbalances are lack of clarity, headaches, and the inability to focus. So some techniques that you can do to align and unblock your third eye chakra are third eye meditations with a focus on visualization, practicing mindful and present moment awareness. I think that's really key because when you can clear your mind and be present, then it kind of allows your third eye have more clarity.
Yeah, you're not as distracted, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And using essential oils like lavender or frankincense for relaxation. Right. I'm all about that.
Mm-hmm.
I do love that. So some crystals that are associated with your third eye are, amethyst.
Yeah.
It's a pretty obvious one. there's one, and I've been using it a lot lately. It starts with LAP or labradorite.
Oh, yeah.
One's not purple.
There's like the purple in the flash of it because it's got that iridescent kind of, if you angle it in the light a certain way, there's usually purple or blue in it.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Any of you guys have any things with your third eye? I'm sure your third eyes are wide open.
Well, for me, and I know I've shared this before, there have been times where families asked me, hey, don't do anything spiritual while we're on this vacation together, or none of that spirit talk at this event. And whenever that happens, I'll feel like pressure on the center of my forehead where I'm blocking information.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I'll have headaches. Like my husband always says, when I don't meditate regularly or I'm not giving readings regularly, I'll end up not feeling well. And it's often ends up in a migraine, and he'll say I'm spiritually constipated. So he'd be like, go and meditate, go and talk with Glenda and Kristen, go talk spirit stuff with somebody, pull cards, do something spiritual because you're backed up. And I always feel it in my head. And you'll find that a lot of people, especially those who are just opening up to their abilities. Now, we're not medical professionals. It doesn't mean if you have migraines, you definitely have a blockage in a third eye.
You should always check.
Disclaimer.
Make sure you check both boxes. Mm-hmm.
Right. You double check and make sure it's not a medical thing.
So
there's definitely ways that these blockages can show up in physical ailments, like we've mentioned before. So it's a good idea to pay attention. If you're having issues in a certain part of your body, think about, what's the chakra closest to that area? And is this something I can work on healing while I'm also healing the physical aspects of myself? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm doing with my lower back. So
when you talked about when you first kind of start developing, I mean, I've always had sinus headaches, but you know what? They're not as bad now. However, but when I first started developing and I was doing a lot of exercises to, further open my third eye, there was about 2 or 3 weeks where whenever I do those exercises, I would have the worst headache ever. Mm. And it was only for like a few weeks, and it's almost like I built that muscle.
Yeah.
But they were really, really painful. Like terrible migraines, and I never got them before. And then they kind of went away. I mean, if they would have stayed, I would have been a little more worried about it and gone to talk to a doctor,
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they did go away, but it was when I was purposely working on my third eye muscles.
That's interesting. I wonder if sometimes if like too much information is coming through, if that
probably
does that. Yeah. And just so you guys know, when I have those migraines, I was seen and tested for so much stuff. And after 6 months of tests, the neurologist was like, we don't really know what this is. So
you're like, that's
good luck.
That's great. Helpful.
I was like, wonderful. That's fantastic.
Good luck to you.
Take this medication for the rest of your life just in case. It might be this one thing, but we really don't know. So, and I have found that when I can tell the association between my spiritual practice and my physical health in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So just something to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So our last chakra would be the crown chakra, which is located on the top of your head. Its color is violet or white. Its traits is spirituality, connection to the divine, enlightenment. The signs of balance and alignment is deep spiritual connection, sense of unity with all beings, and clarity of purpose of meaning in life. Yep. Signs of imbalance can be disconnected from spirituality, existential crisis, migraines. Techniques to align and unblocking. Crown chakra meditation with a focus on cosmic connection, spending time in quiet contemplation or prayer, receiving energy healing like Reiki or acupuncture.
That makes sense. Do you guys find, so, you know, when you have somebody in a reading, it's like you can really tell they have a lot of spiritual abilities if you look at their crown chakra and it's like massive,
yeah,
like super bright. You know, I'm like, oh, you're working on your connection, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because, all these stories just flooded in my head real quick. Hold on. I got to sort through them. Okay. When we went to Sedona and I had the aura picture done.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She tapped the center of her forehead, the third eye chakra or the brow chakra, but then tapped the top of her head. And she goes, you can see. Was tapping the brow and the crown. And I said, what? And she goes, not with your eyes. You can see tapping her brow and her crown chakra. I was like, oh, yep, that's correct. Because of the colors that came through in the aura photo. So, but I also was thinking about how with the crown chakra, a lot of the time, for me at least, and I know a lot of my clients have had this experience, and I think you guys have too, when I have that strong connection to the divine energy, it feel like ants are crawling on my scalp, like a tingling,
feeling or something. Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right on the top of my head. And it used to be before I was even really super active with my spiritual abilities, when I would go to church and we would be in this, you know, communion unified group of either singing or we were doing something like prayer or something, but we're all doing it together, I would start to see spirit all pop up around everybody and the top of my head would be like tingling like crazy.
Yeah,
it's because like it's just antenna. Absolutely.
Your antenna. Did you feel like it's your, I'm sure this is a combination of both. Is it your body's way of saying that, ooh, this energy's coming in? Or do you think it's them making, like,
I kind of think of it as,
pay attention.
I'm open. Like it's my crown chakra's open.
Like you're open. Yeah. Like it's coming from you.
Yeah. Like the passageway is available.
Like it opens it like a
like it's opening. Yeah.
So you think that's funnel. Different where you feel like the tingles on the side of your face?
See, I don't get that. I know G gets
I get it a lot lately.
So when it comes to my face, that usually would be like a spirit touching me.
Right.
But like
you got the thumbs up.
Who did? Oh, I did?
Yeah. That's what I think. When especially with the face is always like, oh, somebody's trying to get my attention.
I usually get that.
Head is different. Yeah.
My ears is the one always numb. Used to numb.
Oh. Yeah.
And when you tune in, do you feel like you hear something when it's coming to your ear?
No.
It's just the numbing. Pay attention.
But I do have the tingling on the whatchamacallit. I think
on the top of your head.
The top of my head, yeah.
Yeah.
And then pressure on my third eye. Kind of thing.
Do you know what's funny? Well, a couple things, because of course I have, like I said, I have all these memories flooding me right now because they're like saying, share this, share that, share this.
Yeah.
One time, Kristen, but also I have a client who is a light worker, spiritual worker. You guys have both told me about seeing like part of my spirit coming out of or this bright funnel at the top of my head. And like it was so funny because you had told me and my client told me and you guys don't know each other. You're nowhere near each other. There's no connection to the two of you. And you both were like, there's a bright funnel at the top of your head and your soul's like halfway out.
You're halfway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's going back to me not being grounded in this physical life. It's something I have to actively participate in. And maybe it's because my moon is in Pisces. I don't know. But I feel more comfortable in that space. And I really have to work very hard to stay grounded in my body. So I feel a lot in the crown of my head. Like that, it's so common. I feel like that opening is like almost always wide open to the point where it's not a good thing. So I have to actively practice like, hey, okay, I need to take a break from this because it's not healthy as a human to be open up like that 100% of the time.
I wonder if that could contribute to your migraines too, because you know how we say an imbalance, it could either mean
too much energy coming in,
or it could be underactivated.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. And I share this because mostly because I want people to know, although I've been doing this for like 13 plus years, I still have to make an effort to find balance within myself. And it can easily go on the back burner. You know, mom with three kids, you're running your own business, taking care of a household. It can easily be forgotten. So to try to make these practices habits is very important, not just for your spiritual well-being, but your emotional, your mental, your physical well-being. So, and there's so many, we're just giving you a little taste of the things that you can do. There's so many more practices that are available to you to help you find alignment and balance within your chakras. And, you know, first you want to be able to recognize those things. Now, just make note, I do not practice Reiki as a practitioner, although I have completed Reiki 1 and 2. But Kristen and Glenda currently do offer those practices. And I think, do you guys both do long distance?
Yeah,
I do.
So, and that's a good way. You make an appointment with someone who knows what they're doing with Reiki, which we're going to discuss more at another time, another podcast, to help identify where you might have blockages and confirm maybe some of your suspicions. Like if you're like thinking, I get a lot of like pressure in the middle of my forehead. I mean, there's even times where I'll be in a reading and I won't even realize it until I look at myself because it's like a Zoom or a FaceTime reading and I'll see myself and I'm wiping my forehead and I'm realizing, oh, like I'm trying to clear my brow or third eye chakra and not really realizing that's what I'm doing, but I'll start to rub my forehead, you know, and it's just like, okay, I need to clear that away. Or the person I'm reading
needs
to have a clear third eye or brow chakra. So you know, when you start to get familiar with the physical sensations that are associated with your spiritual experiences, it's like a whole nother level of understanding yourself on so many different levels.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to something real quick. I don't know why, I keep seeing you with your hat on. And I remember when we first met, we were like, you're trying to cover your third eye and your crown chakra with your hat almost.
Yeah, you always wore your hat.
I always do. Yeah.
I feel like some people do that. It's almost like, you know how like we like, you say you like your head covered when you go to sleep. Like you feel like it might.
Oh yeah. I used to have my pillow. I used to have a pillow over my head always.
Oh yeah. I still do that. I need enough pillows. One for under my head, one between my knees, and one to cover the top of my head and my forehead.
Hey, yeah. That's why I have. I like have lots of pillows.
Yep.
That's funny. So do you wear your hat less, G, now that you're in more into your more... you know, practicing your spiritual abilities.
You know what? Recently, the hat's been a bother kind of thing. Oh. So now I don't wear it no more. So, because
I haven't
always
seen you wear it in a long time.
Yeah, I usually have it right above my eyebrows. And then it kept coming. I kept going, lifting it up. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh my God, just take it off. I'll just take it off.
But yeah, I used to wear it all the time.
Let it fly.
I do. Yeah. Maybe when I go to places, I'll put it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, of course you're going to maybe wear your hat sometimes, but I feel like you do wear it less.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know that you bring up a good point because a lot of time this is me going down a rabbit hole kind of, but still along the same lines.
That's what we're here for. Mm.
With the solar plexus, usually the solar plexus is, you know, it's associated, like we said, with self-confidence, but it's also connected with being in touch with the energy of other people.
Yeah.
So people who are empaths and are very receptive to energy around them will often cover their solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
So if you seek, because they feel like they're not safe or they're picking up on stuff that makes them feel uncomfortable, they might have anxiety, they'll naturally sit with a pillow on their stomach when they're on the couch or their arms crossed or their purse in front of their stomach. You know, they're always blocking that chakra. So you might find that paying attention to your habits or how you carry yourself, you might find that that's somehow associated with an issue with your chakras.
Mm-hmm.
So be a little more conscious of how you're physically carrying yourself, what you physically feel like, what chakra is closest to that. You know, and I do want to bring up one more thing because there's just like so much information coming in, you guys. It's ridiculous. The Kundalini awakening. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people think that you start at the crown chakra and work your way down, but you actually start at the base of your spine with the root chakra. Mm-hmm. And it's believed you have a coil of energy that's often represented by like a coiled snake.
Yeah.
And when you go through what they call a Kundalini awakening, that activates the energy flow from the base of your spine at your root chakra up. Mm-hmm. But you have to clear each chakra on its way up to reach that enlightenment with your crown chakra.
Yep.
Oh. And people who have gone through Kundalini awakenings, they're like, they're so intense. Mm-hmm. Like crazy intense. I honestly don't know if I've had one. Yeah, I don't know enough about it to realize. I know I've had many awakenings. I feel like everybody goes through many awakenings and we will continue to. Yeah. And we'll be like, why the hell is everything going wrong? Or why does this keep happening to me? And we're realizing after the fact, oh, there was a lesson to be learned here. And that when you reach that lesson, you are able to evolve to the next level of understanding and all that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Do you think sometimes it's like, you know how we say, you know, you're going through all your healing processes when you think you're all good and then other crap comes up that you're like, man, I thought I stuffed that deep. Why is it coming back? Maybe that's part of it. You know, it's like as it rises, those things that
absolutely,
you know, were deep would start to come up. So maybe that's like an indication. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's absolutely right. I think a lot of the time, that's why a lot of people, when they're like, why am I so stressed? Why do I have so much anxiety? The first thing that they approach is their childhood. What was my childhood trauma? What did my parents do? What did I experience as a child? And your root chakra is all about your family, like your family origins, right? Like your childhood, where you were developed and your mentality, your limiting beliefs, your mindsets and all that kind of stuff first developed. And when you start to get more comfortable and understand, oh, I think this way because of this, and not trying to say everybody's messed up because their parents. Parents are doing the best they can most of the time.
You can be traumatized at school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or by other kids, you know, siblings, other whatever.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So anyways, so yes, I absolutely believe that we evolve and it's through each chakra. However, sometimes as you move through, like say you think you healed your root chakra, you think you healed your sacral, you think you got everything squared away with your solar plexus, you might go right back down to the root again. Because there might be something that comes up in your healing in a certain chakra that's going to activate something else that needs to be healed in an earlier chakra. So
I'm going to piggyback on something else. We were talking the other day about how, you know, sometimes we keep getting clients sent to us that they all might have something in common constantly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we feel like that's something we need to learn from or something we're going through.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes that's my reminder of, no, you're not done with this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, take what you've learned, help them, but you're not quite done with this either.
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, there's many times during reading, my guides will stop and go, step in front of me, in front of me, in front of the other people, the clients, you know, guides and people and be like, are you listening? Are you paying attention?
Did you get that?
This is for you too. And I make this face like, oh God, like side eye my spirit guide. And my client's like, is everything okay? I'm like, sorry. I know I relate to what your story is and I'm supposed to be learning from this too. You know, so like, it's pretty funny, but no, I do believe that when we share our abilities, it's also, it's not just us helping them. You know, I think it's 90% of us helping our client and 10% helping us.
Us, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that's why there's groups of readings that we do or sessions that we do like 10 in a row. And it's like, okay, we get it. 10% like from each reading.
Right.
Five, six that I've had. And we're like, okay.
Yeah, I hear ya. I hear ya. Or you have like one of you might say something to me that's been coming up a lot in my readings. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I get it. Now you're talking through my friends. All right, I get it. But yes.
Oh, absolutely.
So
guides are relentless.
Oh, no joke. Which I'm grateful for because sometimes I need that smack. You know, you need that smack up against the head, right?
I've been shown a fish like this was a fish slap. Wake up.
Was that from the Muppets?
I don't
Wasn't there somebody that would slap somebody? The chef, I think, right? Would slap somebody
the
with
Swedish chef?
Yeah.
There you go. Get my Muppet fish slap.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So, okay, so
in addition to the main seven chakras that we discussed, in you know, these are the most common ones that are talked about in spiritual and healing practices. Yeah. There are other chakras that some traditions explore. You know, there are additional chakras that might include the Earth Star chakra, which is believed to be like 12 inches beneath you. That's supposed to help you connect with Mother Earth, the remains of your ancestors, some believe, gem and mineral people, and fairy folk, like more earth-based entities. Okay.
And I must have a good one because I feel like fairies are always showing up.
Hey, work on that then. That might be something to focus a little bit more on.
Yeah.
There's also the Soul Star chakra, which is located above your head. And that's more associated with spiritual connection with a higher consciousness. There's also a higher heart chakra, which is believed to be located between the heart and the throat, which makes a lot of sense because once you start to, you know, like the heart chakra is very much associated with unconditional love for yourself, but also being receptive to love and giving love. And a lot of the time, people want to hear it verbally, right? We express ourselves verbally most of the time. That's the kind that's most commonly used. So to have that chakra in between the two for you to find that healing passageway to go from, I love myself enough to speak my authentic self, right?
Right.
So these are associated with some other learnings. These are kind of newer concepts of chakras that are not talked about a ton, but there is a really good book that I have that I like. It's called The Ultimate Guide to Chakras. It's the beginner's guide to balancing, healing, unblocking your chakras for health and positive energy. And it's by Athena Perakis, which I might be pronouncing wrong, PhD. Great book. They do bring up some of these extra chakras. They give a lot of detail. It's where I got most of this information from. So definitely worth exploring. But I definitely would think start with the seven main chakras for sure.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's important. Gosh, I feel like I'm talking so much, but I just feel like there's so much information coming through. I think it's important to recognize that these energy centers, these chakras within our – that are believed to run along our spine – are not contained into one small little ball inside of our bodies. It's almost like a ring that expands outside of ourselves in a way, right?
Yeah.
And in addition to that, they're energy centers because we have what are called meridian. Is that right? Meridian lines?
Meridians.
With
this?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That tend to intersect at these energy centers. So meridian lines run through all your body. You actually have chakras like in the palms of your hands. You have them like all over your body. You have them on your ears. You have them everywhere. I mean, they're all over the place. There's
like
just
acupuncture.
Yeah. These seven main ones are where majority of those meridian lines that connect to those other chakras come together. So it's like the most intense energy, if that makes sense.
I just had a weird connection. I was thinking of like you have like – you know, your nerve plexuses or like your little nerve ganglion that kind of come together in different places.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's where your meridians are.
I think they are. I think that should be something you explore our future medical intuition.
Yeah. I don't know why I just put that together.
It's because your guides are hinting some more. Like, get rolling.
I know. I need to work on that. Another book, real quick, that's good, is The Anatomy of the Spirit by Carolyn Miss.
Yes.
And that's all about, you know, your chakras and all the organs connected to each chakra. So, like, even though, you know, your heart chakra is also, like, in your chest, but it can also reach out to, like,
your arms.
Past your arms, right? Anything in line with that. Anyway, so when you were talking about books, that was another good book. So seeking guidance from experienced practitioners or teachers is crucial because they offer valuable knowledge, insights, and tailored practices. Their expertise helps navigate challenges while serving as mentors and role models and fostering a sense of community and support. Working with them enhances understanding, motivation, and commitment to personal growth on spiritual and healing paths.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, here's our recap. We talked about seven chakras, which are only the main common one, but we have more. Mm-hmm. We talked about the balances, imbalances, and some crystals to add with it, some affirmations. And if you just skim through it, go back in and listen again.
And you know what? We did not mention crystals for the crown chakra. And that I find a lot of people enjoy working with, I honestly use amethyst, and like some of the similar ones I use mm-hmm. for my amethyst. Brow mm-hmm. chakra. Mm-hmm. But also, what is it called? Rainbow, any kind of rainbow crystal. Yeah, rainbow crystal aura quartz. Yeah, rainbow aura quartz. Yeah, anything that has like rainbow or multiple colors in it. Even the labradorite mm-hmm. works for that too.
Yeah, it can do both.
Yeah, because they have different colors.
Mm-hmm.
I think celestite mm-hmm. too, because that's one that kind of helps you connect with higher beings, which would through the crown, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And so just side note, and I could be totally wrong, so if I'm wrong, cut this out, but is it true that white is all the colors combined?
Well, when you're talking about the light spectrum, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's when you have all colors and before they're split.
Right. So how white is associated with the crown chakra and all the mm-hmm. colors are coming through from all the chakras, it would turn white at the top, which is also the concept of rainbow, right? Like at the bottom of the rainbow.
True. You see
the clouds at the bottom of the rainbow are like the combination mm-hmm. of all the colors coming together. I don't know why. Yeah. This is just stuff I'm seeing in my head.
And you're getting it. That's right. Clear quartz then too, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Clear quartz. Yeah.
Okay. So now that you've heard all about the seven main chakras and all the information that we just went over, we'd love to hear any experiences that you've had with chakras. So please join the conversation on our Facebook group, Soul on a Voyage, and let us know about your experiences. Even if you get to get around to trying some of the techniques we mentioned, we'd love to hear how they worked out for you.
Mm-hmm. So thanks so much for joining us for this episode. And if you missed the last episode, listen, because we discussed rainbow, indigo, and crystal children
mm-hmm.
and how to help nurture them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In our next episode, we'll be talking about auras and energy fields. So get ready.
Thanks so much for joining us today at the Spiritual Rabbit Hole. Remember, your time with us doesn't have to end here.
Subscribe to our soulonavoyage.com website for more spiritual resources and services. And remember, our Soul on a Voyage Facebook group too.
Stay updated on all we have to offer by following us on Instagram at Soul on a Voyage. Thanks for being part of our spiritual community. Love ya.
Bye for now.
Peace out.